Welcome to the Coffee with Kathy podcast. Take a moment to subscribe and like us on Facebook if you haven't already. You can also check out all of our books, merch, and future podcasts at coffeewithkathy.com. Now grab yourself a cup of coffee and get ready to be encouraged. Here's your host, Pastor Kathy Heitschu.
Just tell your neighbor who you are. Tell them all about you. Amen. You're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Welcome all of our online friends. We're so glad you're here. So glad you're here. Riverside Assembly of God. No place I'd rather be. Amen. No place I'd rather be than right here. Amen. A lot of places I could be. Hey. I have a nephew in prison. I talk to him often. I promise you, there's no place I'd rather be than right here. Amen. That is true. I've done some things in my time. Just kidding. I love all y'all. If you have your Bible, we're going to 2 Samuel. I'll give you time to get there. 2 Samuel 21. Night 23, amen? Amen, night 23, hey! Some of y'all have perfect attendance. We're going to do perfect attendance certificates, okay, at the very end. We're going to give a perfect attendance. And if you've missed one, we'll do an honorable mention. How about that? Amen. 2 Samuel 21. Amen. Amen. If you would close those doors for me back there, I would appreciate it. Thank you so much. Woo. 2 Samuel 21. We'll start in verse 1. Tell your neighbor, you ready? Amen. During the reign of David, there was a famine for 3 successive years. So David sought the face of the Lord. The Lord said, "It's on account of Saul and his blood-stained house. It's because he put the Gibeonites to death." Verse 2, the king summoned the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not a part of Israel, but were survivors of the Amorites. The Israelites had sworn to spare them, but Saul in his zeal for Israel and Judah tried to annihilate them. Verse 3, David asked the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? How shall I make atonement so that you will bless the Lord's inheritance?" The Gibeonites answered him, "We have no right to demand silver or gold from Saul or his family, nor do we have the right to put anyone in Israel to death." "What do you want for me to do for you?" David asked. They answered the king, "As for the man who destroyed us and plotted against us, so that we have been decimated and have no place anywhere in Israel, let 7, somebody say 7, of his male descendants be given to us to be killed." But underline that. "And their bodies exposed before the Lord at Gibeah of Saul, the Lord's chosen one." So the king said, "I will give them to you." The king spared Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, and the son of Saul. Jonathan was Saul's son, and he spared him because of the oath before the Lord between David and Jonathan, son of Saul. But the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, another one, the 2 sons of Ai's daughter Rizpah, look at your neighbor and say Rizpah, whom she had borne to Saul, together with the 5 sons of Saul's daughter Merab, whom she had borne to Adriel, son of Marzilia and Mehelothith. And some of you are glad y'all didn't even have to read verse 8. Say amen. Amen. He handed them over to the Gibeonites, who killed them and exposed their bodies on a hill before the Lord. All 7 of them fell together. They were put to death during the first days of the harvest, just as the barley harvest was beginning. Verse 10, Rizpah took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on a rock. From beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from the heavens on the bodies, she did not let the birds touch them by day, nor the wild animals by night. Spirit of the living God, do what only you can do, not by might and not by power, but by your Spirit, Father. Saturate this place right now. I feel the anointing. I feel the Holy Spirit. Father, let the ears hear exactly what you have to say in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Nothing will make you seek after God like trouble. Tell your neighbor, amen. That's the truth. Because you know you don't even pray right until trouble comes. True. I know it ain't just me. And you say, well, is that biblical? Yes, it is. Hosea 5:15. Then I will return to my place until they admit their guilt and turn to me. For as soon as trouble comes, they will earnestly search for me. It's biblical. Trouble has a way of ushering you into the throne room of God. And all the mothers in the house said, amen. And listen, on your walk in life as you go, you know, there are lots of troubles that you may come across. There's physical trouble. There's mental trouble. There's financial trouble. But tonight I'm going to talk to you about my favorite one, family trouble. Tell your neighbor, she's not talking about our family. And there's family trouble. There's outside family trouble and there's inside family trouble. And can I tell you, inside trouble is way harder to deal with than outside trouble. Outside trouble is manageable, as you're going to see. See, if something happened to all of your earthly possessions, everything you own, it might hurt you, it might shake you, it might rattle you and even set you back. But if money can replace it, you can survive it. True? Sometimes that kind of trouble even draws a family closer together. Amen. It's true. But I want to talk to you about inside trouble, family trouble, the harder to deal with trouble. You know, it comes in the form of pressure, of tension and stress and neglect and bitterness and anger, abuse, unforgiveness, adversity. You know, between family members. I'm talking about in your family, right? Inward trouble, inside trouble, that's harder to deal with, especially if it's the result of some other joker's sin. Amen? Because listen, sin is never content to only affect one person. Sin never stops with just you. It's never you and your sin. It is far-reaching. The Bible says the consequences of sin are far, far-reaching. Look at the life of Adam and Eve. Right? Their sin has reached every generation since they fell. Every generation has been affected. When they fell, everything in them fell. And we all have to deal with a fallen nature now because of it. This is why Paul wrote in Romans 7, when I would do good, evil is present in me, and that which I would not do, I do. So what he's saying is, I want to do good, but I don't. Hey, tell your spouse that's you. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, oh, miserable man that I am. That's Romans 7. And because of their fall, we've been given this genetic disadvantage, Psalm 51:5. We have been born in sin. We have been shapen in iniquity. It's just genetic, right? This is going to be easy for you to understand why it's so easy for you to sin than it is for you to live holy. Sin is natural for us. That means sin is in my nature. It's natural for me. Living holy is not natural for me. I wasn't born living holy, right? Webster says that natural is something that's inherited. In other words, sin was not optional in your life, okay? It was a package deal. When the blood came and the kidneys came, sin came. When the spine came and the backbone came, sin came. It was a package deal. Sin is natural. Sin is fun. Tell your neighbor, sin is fun. The Bible even says, y'all didn't even do that. Tell your neighbor, sin is fun. Because you know what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:25? The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a... Good job. I like it when y'all preach with me. Amen. That's one of the things that draws us into it. That's what entices us and excites us. Right? It's adventurous. It brings some satisfaction. It curbs the appetite of your flesh. And most of the time, sin is immediate gratification. Immediate, especially if you have road rage and you ram somebody, but you know, I'm just saying. It has a measure of pleasure. Amen? Say, I know that's right. Here's the problem with sin. Not only is the pleasure inevitable, but the harvest of sin is inevitable also. It won't take you very long to discover this. Harvesting those sinful seeds will completely overshadow, get this, every ounce of pleasure you had while planting them. The harvest of the sinful seeds that you plant will quickly be overshadowed by the pleasure you had while planting them. The word says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. Now, my mama would say, like I tell my children, be sure your sins will find you out. I carry it just one step further. You will be found out. And we're living in a day where, listen, so much is preached about grace that people believe when they fall down, all they have to do is get back up again. And yes, that's true. Yes, if you fall down, you need to get back up again. But can I tell you, when you get back up again, don't go into convulsions. Don't be in a state of shock when you find yourself having to reap the consequences of your fall. See, nobody talks about the consequences of sin much. Hashtag Kathy will. Tell your neighbor, she will. Can I tell you, grace doesn't cancel out the consequences of sin. Galatians 6:7, warning. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And that's the law that's in the land. That's a law that's not changing. It's not going to change. You're not going to all of a sudden sow to the flesh and not reap of it. Amen? You're not going to sow sin after sin after sin and not reap it, the consequences of it. So David sowed to the flesh and reaped what the flesh produced, resulting in his life just going out of control. Can I tell you, his bad choices resulted in palace problems? Ain't no trouble like trouble in your home. Y'all too quiet for me, amen? Because listen, you can have trouble on your job, and at 5 o'clock you can punch out, right? You can have trouble at your church and pack up your membership and move across town. Well, you can't get out of trouble at your home. Home is home. You ain't getting out of that trouble at your household. But listen, it took a prophet of David to stand up to him and do what no one else would do, to tell David what no one else would tell him. 2 Samuel 12, you know, David confess, I have sinned. But despite his confession, Nathan tells him, the Lord has taken away your sin. Yes. You shall not die, David. Yes. But here come the consequences. The sword shall not depart from thine house. The child him and Bathsheba had died. The sword shall not depart from thine house. David's son rapes his daughter. His son Amnon rapes his daughter Tamar, which was his sister. The sword shall not depart from thine house. And because of this, you know, his brother Absalom gets angry with him and he ends up killing him. The sword shall not depart from thine house. Absalom tries to lead a conspiracy against his father and he ends up murdered. Listen, the sword shall not depart from thine house. Did he repent? Yes. Did God hear him? Yes. Was he sincere? Absolutely. But can I tell you, repentance and forgiveness and sincerity are not strong enough to cancel out the laws of the harvest. Because as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and I am so grateful for grace, and I don't understand it, but grace doesn't cancel out consequences. And I want to talk to you about Rizpah, because she understood this terrible link between far-reaching sin and having to suffer for it, something somebody else did. She knew what it meant to be a victim of Saul's far-reaching sin. And she gets a knock on the door. It's harvest time. They've come for her two boys. Two of the seven are her boys. Her boys. I mean, she had it going on, guys. Listen, she was living large in the palace. Amen. She was the king's concubine. That means she was his sweet thing. Okay. She was his Pooh Bear muffin pants. Amen. She was his Pookie Poo, his sweet thing, his forbidden fruit. I mean, she had pillow talk with the strongest man in all of Israel. That was every woman's dream, but it's her reality, right? She's living large. She had the hookup for life. She had a link to palace privileges. She's a mom to the king's kids. Listen, don't get locked into a life, because I'm telling you what, anybody ever had life switch up on them? Anybody ever had life switch up on you? And so here she is with her manicured hands and her pedicured feet. She's climbing up this hill to watch the execution of these seven men, two of them her boys. They grew up in the daddy's palace. They were always cared for. They were always provided for. And now they're being slaughtered for their father's sin, a crime they didn't even commit. They're trapped in this retaliation, y'all, and there's nothing they can do about it. Saul left unfinished business, and they're the ones that's going to pay the price. So Rizpah looks up. They're sliding the noose around her boy's neck, dying because of somebody else's sin, somebody's thirst for revenge. Because the Gibeonites demanded those bodies. She watched her babies. She watched them struggle. She watched them dangle there. She had them. She saw them gasping for air. She saw them kicking. She was their mama, but her hands were tired. Because, you see, listen, her hands were tied. Because there's some things even mama can't get you out of. Amen? We've all watched our loved ones suffer. We've all watched our loved ones get trapped in sin, get tangled up in sin. If you're a praying mama in the house, you can see trouble coming a mile down the road. You can see trouble before they round the corner to your house. Amen? Praying mamas know exactly what I'm talking about. You can look out and see it coming. And listen, you can warn them. You can beg them. You can tell them no 100 times. You can say stop it. But it doesn't always stop trouble from coming to your home. And she looks up and they're dead. And you know the crowd's like, go home, Rizpah, go home. They're gone. They're mangled. They're decomposing right before your eyes, Rizpah, go home. And the smell, Rizpah, how can you stand the smell? Go home. But you know what? I don't care what you see. I don't care what they're accused of. I don't care how they smell. They are king's kids. And every now and then, can I tell you, every mom and every parent and every visionary and every dreamer and every evangelist and every missionary has got to stand up and take off your cute palace clothes and put on your fighting clothes and stand there and tell the devil, wait a minute, I know they don't look like much. I know they don't look like king's kids, but I brought them into the world and you're not having them. Hallelujah. You're not having my marriage. You're not having my finances. You're not having my grandkids. You're not having my job. You're not having my house or my career. Tell your neighbor, this means war. Amen. I might not can stop them from getting caught up in Saul's sin, but I bet I stop them from being dinner in the mouth of some wild beast. And now the woman who used to walk in queenly garments has traded them, guys, for sackcloth. She guarded their bodies with passion. She was dangerous to deal with. I can only imagine. But you know what? Her love was stronger than the decay of her boys. She was like a creature of the wild that's just been robbed of her offspring. Go home, Rizpah. They're dead. You can just hear the crowd. She's like, they may be dead, but they're my kids. Even if they are on drugs, they're my kids. Even if they are strung out on alcohol and drugs, they are my kids. Even if they are in jail and prison, they're my kids. Even if they are acting a fool and acting crazy and done run off, they're my kids. No, thank you. I'm going to stay right here on this rock. I'm going to stay right here on this rock. I'm here to tell every one of you, you better stay on your rock. Tell your neighbor, stay on the rock. Stay there. Even if you have to stay by yourself, stay there. Even if you have to send your family home, stay on the rock. Even if you have to send all your friends home, stay on the rock. Release them and start your ministry all over again. Release them and start your ministry finally. Put out the ones that can't handle the stink and stay on the rock. This means war. This is your dream. This is your victory. This is your second chance. This is your comeback. This is your bounce back. Go home? Oh, no, thank you, baby girl. I don't think so. Nope, not happening. The law says that you're supposed to bury my sons. The law says if you hang them, you're supposed to bury them in the same day. And the boys are still hanging out there. So I'm going to stay right here on this rock until you do right by my boys. Hallelujah. I don't care what kind of spectacle I am, but Rizba, people are looking at you. People are driving through the city and they're looking at you. People think you've lost your mind, Rizba. I don't care. I'm going to beat back everything that thinks it's going to devour my child. Amen. Get off my child. Leave my family alone. Leave me and my spouse alone. You done messed with the wrong person. If you get a Rizpa attitude about you, people will know they done got the wrong pastor. They got the wrong mama. They got the wrong daddy. They got the wrong grandparent. If you think I'm going to let you snatch at my kid, pick at my kid, eat what's left of my kid, you've lost your ever-loving mind. It's my vision. It's my ministry. And I'm not going to let you pick at it. It ain't happening, not on my watch, not today, Satan, and not any other day. So for 5 months, count them, 5 months, she stayed out there day and night. Day and night, driving off predators, putting her life on hold. Day after day, and it's hot. It's like, God, it's hot out here. How much longer? Night after night, struggling to stay awake. Can you even imagine getting just a little bit of sleep here and there? It's so cold, and she wrestled with the stench of death alone. 5 months. And she walked the length of that rock. Why, God? Why my babies? Why my kids? Why my spouse? Why my vision? Why my ministry? I've tried to do everything right. I don't understand. I ain't had a good night's sleep in 5 months. She wrestled with weariness, you know she did. Bone chilling cold, you know she did. And days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months. Listening for the vulture's wings. Listening for wild animals coming. Get away, fighting them off all day, all night. And we can't even deal with something for 2 weeks. It's true. And we call ourselves a warrior. I'm a spiritual warrior. I'm going to get in my prayer closet I made. Hallelujah. We're living in day, guys, we're dealing with issues that you might not get an answer on day one. Right? The kind of issue you might have to climb up on that rock for 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months. You might have to have that determination that she had. She stayed out there until she got her answer. And we have to have the tenacity to stay and say, God, I'm on this rock. And if you don't come and answer me in June, I'm going to be right here in July. If you don't come in July, I'm going to be right here in August. Father, if you don't even come in August, I'm going to be on my rock September. I got more than an overnight suitcase with some high heels and a curling iron. I got a truckload of determination. Amen. I'm not leaving here until you bless me, God. What if we had that kind of attitude and determination? I'm not leaving here until you bless me. I'll wait until the rain begins to fall. Anybody can come and go, but it takes somebody that'll see it through to the end. It takes somebody that'll ride out the drought. Anybody can come and go for a day or two. What about 5 months? What about when you got to pray about that thing for 5 months? And Rizpa says, I can't go anywhere until I bury them. I have some things in my life that I need to bury. Do you? What things do you have in your life that you know you need to bury? I mean, can you imagine a pack of wolves? Because it's not just one wolf come, and there's 7 guys hanging here 5 months. A pack of wolves, one woman did that. Beat every one of them back. Every vulture, every buzzard, every wild beast. And you know what? You'll be able to do stuff that you weren't supposed to do too if you could just pray. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Or we say, if God be for you, everybody else might as well be. Man, if it weren't for God on my side, my, I would have been swallowed up. But she kept on, and she kept on, and she kept on, and you're going to keep on too, and you're going to keep on, and you're going to fight, and you're going to keep on. And as we stand all over this place, because I'm going to keep it short and very sweet, because all of a sudden she felt raindrops. Oh God, it's raining. 5 months she felt raindrops. It's raining. And as soon as the rain came, do you know somebody walked up in that palace and said, King David, have you seen that crazy concubine of Saul's? You know she's been out on that rock protecting her boys for 5 months. And David said, what? We never took those boys down and buried them? If you can believe it, David, she's been beating off wild animals for 5 months. David said, right away, bring Rizpah and Saul's children down and give those boys a proper burial. I've come to tell you that your cry has reached the ears of the king tonight. He's about to sign a decree on your behalf. There's nothing wrong in your life that the Holy Ghost reign can't resolve. Is anything too hard for God? I've come to tell somebody, you're about to bury some things tonight, once and for all. We're going to have an amazing funeral service. We're going to bury some things tonight. You're about to come off that rock tonight. You got the attention of the king. Can I tell you, you got the attention of the king. You've perked his interest. Your days of fighting this situation are over. Your days of constantly fighting it every time you wake up, every time you go to bed are over. Relief has come. Relief from financial pressure. Relief from that devastating marriage, from that loss of a loved one. Relief has finally come. Can I tell you, the famine is over. The rain has come. It's over. God's going to deliver your marriage from destruction. He's shifting finances into alignment. He's shifting emotions back into alignment. He's shifting families back into alignment. We're going to bury those things once and for all. We're going to bury addictions of every kind. We're going to bury even that roller coaster ride you've been on constantly. We're going to bury that thing. That thing that's up and down and up and down. We're burying that roller coaster ride tonight. We're burying all the drama. We're going to bury every fleshly thing that keeps you from living holy. Every fleshly thing that distracts you. Everything holding you back. Everything limiting you. We're burying it tonight once and for all. We're burying it tonight. What? I never buried those boys. Get them down. Bring the bones right now. We're going to do a proper burial for them. We're burying rejection. We're burying strife. Tonight we're burying jealousy and gossip and that spirit of complaining that just complains and complains and complains. You complain in the morning. You complain at night. You complain when it's day. You complain when it's not. Complaining. We're burying that thing. We're going to live a holy life. I said we're going to live a holy life. We're burying it. This means war. Tired of it. Not having it anymore. We're going to have that determination she had. That determination she had where she would just beat at those birds. She would just swing at them. Just got to be tired. Got to be tired of it all day, all night. Got to be just tired of it. Can't let it touch my boy. Can't let it touch my kid. Can't let it touch my family. Fighting, fighting. We got to get that determination that says, I'll stand on this rock. I'll fight on this rock. I won't let anything happen. Have my kids. I won't let anything have my marriage. I won't let anything have my finances. Shiburaba. Every wild bird, every wild animal, every predator, every enemy that came, she fought it. Fought it. I want to encourage you tonight to fight. Fight. Don't stop fighting. Don't stop. I know it's month number 4 and day number 28. Don't stop. Don't stop fighting. If you have something you want to bury, come. If you've got something you want to just have a funeral service for, come. If you want to bury that thing once and for all, for it to never rear its ugly head again, I want you to come. You would say, no more, no more. I'm burying all of it. I'm going to bury all of it. And all means all. I'm burying my emotional roller coaster ride. I'm up one day and down the next. Or maybe you would just say, I quit fighting. I quit fighting at month number 4. I actually quit fighting at month number 3. I couldn't handle it anymore. I didn't have the strength. I was trying to fight in my own power, and I should have been fighting in His power. Because greater is He that's in me. We're getting our fight back. We're getting our fight back tonight. We leave out of here. We have fight in us. Nothing but fight in us. Amen. I'm getting my fight back. Amen. Anything that keeps me from living holy, whatever distraction, some of you need to have a funeral service for your friends, but not in that kind of way. Amen. But some of you need to get the gift of goodbye for some of your friends and say, goodbye. You're not a good friend in my life. You don't encourage me to live holy. It might be your mama. Goodbye. It might be your daddy. Goodbye. The gift of goodbye to everybody that prevents you from living holy. Holiness matters. Living holy matters. There's consequences for our sin. And yes, there's mercy. And yes, there's grace. But there's consequences. Just in case. I mean, the prison is full of consequences. Amen? Prison's full. People who repented, yes. People who said, I'm sorry, yes. But there's consequences for sin. Holiness is a real thing. Amen? Amen. I love all y'all. I say goodnight to all my friends on the internet because we're going to have a Holy Ghost time here. You need to get here 6:30 every night. Get here. Amen? Hoorabah, feel the anointing.
But I believe the church today needs revival. I believe not just this church, but the church as a whole, the church in our region, the church in our nation needs revival.
I'm looking for a remnant of people. I'm searching to and fro over the whole earth just to find a heart perfect toward mine, Kathy.
A lot of prophetic words have been spoken over this place. And I believe that if we put the effort out, if we begin to contend for the things of God, then we'll begin to experience the things of God. So we're going to get together every day and contend for the things of God in this house. If we want to see God things happen, then we've got to create some God opportunities for them to happen.
Introducing the Coffee with Kathy Daily Devotional Journal. It has daily encouragement, confessions, reading plans, and more. Available on coffeewithkathy.com or Amazon Prime. You can also check out the Coffee with Kathy sweatshirts, coffee mugs, and bundles on coffeewithkathy.com. Also, if you haven't already, take a minute to subscribe to the Coffee with Kathy podcast where you can get encouraged weekly. Now go make it a coffee drinking kind of day.